Hey, can I just say, Better Blokes, I don't know why you guys are here, but I want to be here as a better friend, a better hubby, a better dad, a better granddad. And if you fellas aren't granddads yet, hang in there because, like Dale said last night, what a great place to be. We're all here for different reasons, and I love this. And Dale, I just want to say, I don't pray with my eyes closed because quite often I'm driving and it's a bit of a bugger when you're driving and praying. So don't mind if I don't close my eyes. But I want to pray. Lord, you've brought all of us together this weekend. Men that are desperately looking to be better. And I thank you, Lord, for the blokes that are here tonight, like Dale and the other presenters, for the time they've given up to prepare their wisdom and the words that you've put in their heart. And I pray that you'll use these men mightily this weekend, particularly Dale now, as you clear the scales off our eyes. You use Dale to clear the wax out of our ears. And maybe you put a bit of linseed oil in the putty of our heart and soften it. And you renovate us. So, Lord, thank you for Dale. Use him mightily in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Wayne. I'm probably going to need that too, if you have that handy, mate.
No, yeah. Don't hold back.
No, good, mate. Good morning, fellas. It was interesting that Simon introduced a round of sleep. I had a pretty good camp sleep. You know what that means, don't you? Like awake half the night in a different bed, and that's pretty expected. But God was stirring me up too, and you know, through the night, I saw a lot of your faces. He just brought faces to me, and so he was stirring me through the night. It was significant. And this morning, some of us met for prayer down there. And I've got to tell you, fellas, I was just home amongst this beautiful group of men. That's what I was talking about, where we belong. And you hear this morning, hear this power this morning. The men are rising together, and we've just begun. So it's awesome, awesome to have you here. Last night we had, I hope, a powerful connection. Certainly it was powerful for me. And some of our brothers weren't here for that. And I don't want to leave them trying to catch up. So I'd like to invite them out here now, and we will do an accelerated version of that for them. So I know that Ward's one of those guys. Who's joined us late last night or this morning? Could I invite you out? What's happening? It's out of control. It's out of my control. And can I say, who's the young man leading worship there? I don't know your name yet.
Zach.
You know, I was thinking often about what a wonderful blessing it is to have worship. This morning I thought, how essential it is. That was such a beautiful setup for us. So thank you, men. Really, really valuable. I need a couple of fellas to come and join me to pray with these good men. We're just wanting to invite you into our company of men this weekend, invite you into God's blessing. So a couple of fathers who would come and join me here, any age actually, don't need to be young or old. And we just had the generations out last night, the different generations that are here, and we prayed over those generations. And we just want to pray the same blessing on you. And we did that in a bit of a scrum form. So we're going to do this as one. So let's get in close. If COVID's stretching you, then look after yourself. But a bit of a cluster here, fellas. Nathan, Joel, Ward, Peter's here, Murray. Good. Awesome. So we want to welcome, we want to affirm, we want to bless these men into our company. There's good men here. I'm going to be quiet. Wayne said, don't hold back, Lord.
Oh, Lord, I just thank you that we can meet here amongst fellow brothers. I thank you, Lord, that you care for us. I thank you that you delight in us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you empower us in Jesus' precious and holy name.
Thank you, Murray, and it's our job to pray for you. We welcome these men. We call them Lord, to you. We welcome them into the company of men. We welcome them into their generation and what they have to bring, what they've journeyed through, and what you still have for them. Help them to let go of what they've come from so they can be here. The blessings they've just left and maybe the challenges, Lord. Help them to now settle into your word and your place amongst these men. Help them to know they belong and they have a part to play. Right from the word go, we need these men here. So we give you thanks for them, Lord.
We pray, Lord, for their hearts to be opened. We pray for them to encourage as they be encouraged by the other men around here, a company of Christian men who know your word, Lord, and who want your word to be supreme.
Mm.
And so we ask for openness and we ask for honesty and integrity, Lord. Pray these things in your wonderful Son, Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So, guys, our goal is not that you would turn up a bit cold, but you would warm up real quick and be welcomed and be known. And let's do all we can to accelerate for that, for these fellas. Thank you. Awesome to have you here. Just this morning, I'm going to need a helper just maybe to read a couple of verses for me at some point. Thank you. Maybe you come and join me up here and then we'll be able to hear. I heard that power in the voices this morning. And one of the things that God, you take a seat, Cameron. Have you got a Bible?
No, get, mate.
Yep, someone will have a Bible for you shortly. You just take a seat here, mate, and then I'll call upon you if that's okay. And one of the things that God was speaking to me about during the night instead of sleep was about strength. You know, and about what does it mean for a man to have strength, Christian man to have strength. And I think in many ways that's what we get, that's what's so important, that's often what we get wrong. So we see in all the domestic violence stuff, it's misusing physical strength, misusing power. The flip side of that is we give up our strength and we go passive. And that's equally as destructive. So one of the things that I think we're calling to find is the strength of who we are as men. And we're going to find that in Him, completely in Him. It's good to have good men around, but God is where that strength comes from. I was led to Ephesians 3. I'm going to read this one, Cameron. And it's Paul writing, I pray from His glorious, unlimited resources that He will empower you with inner strength through His Holy Spirit. Then Christ would make His home in our hearts and for us to trust in Him. I pray that your roots would grow down into God's love and keep you strong. I've needed that prayer, fellas. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ that is too great to understand fully. It might take us a lifetime to fully grasp that, fellas, but we need to be moving toward it more and more. I think we're given the years on the planet because it's going to take us that long to understand all that God has for us. But let's step into His love. It's where power is. It's where strength is. Awesome, fellas. Frank said to me this morning, just memorize the start and then you'll be right. I've gone way off script already, Frank, but that's okay. I'm feeling good. Fellas, a little while ago, look at the date on this, in April, I started a new journal. And I'd say my journaling practice is spasmodic. What's the word I'm looking for? Sporadic at best. Intermittent. But, you know, I've done some journaling over time, and when I go back to them, look at some old journals, you go, that's rich what's written down there, you know. It's valuable practice. And I went out of my way and I bought myself a special journal. And this is a John Eldridge one. I thought, I want something I can keep and has meaning. I can feel it and know there's goodness in there. And so I got this journal. You can replace the inside so that you can continue to work with it. And at the beginning of it, he talks about his journaling. And he says, I started a new journal, and whenever you start a new journal, you feel like what you write first on that first blank page should be something significant. I was already feeling that. Now he's just amplified my anxiety here about what am I going to write, you know? First page, here it is, fellas. What am I going to share? So I did what he suggested, and I asked God, what should I write, God? He shared in his teaching there that he wrote down at one season, your love. That was it. He didn't even know what that meant. But that carried him for a couple of years, coming back to your love. That's the prayer we've just read. So what came to me was, where am I? And I prayed about that a little bit more, and I changed it to, where are you, Dale? So it wasn't me asking, it was God asking, where are you, Dale? And I thought, that sounds familiar. I'll go back to the script, Frank. We can laugh about it, which is really good. Where are you? Where's that in the Bible? Genesis. Took me back to the beginning. Cameron, can you have a look at Genesis 3:9 for me, please, mate? And you've got a mic there.
But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed you are above all livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust."
Thanks, Cameron. Thank you. Here's a bit of wisdom in action. I'm not a good reader. It's taken me 59 years to realise, get someone else to read. Thank you, Cameron. You did a good job, mate. And someone gets a job. Someone gets to contribute. Where are you? I thought, wow, this can't be good. The first thing I write in my Bible is God calling out to Adam and Eve as they've just sinned and broken their covenant with God. Is that what he's asking me? Where are you? Man, that was a tough call. And listen what's in there, that the serpent deceived me, the serpent seduced me. That's what's going on. It's still happening. You spoke about it this morning. We get deceived and convinced that there's going to be life in this thing, whatever this thing is. This will be good. That's what Satan's convincing us of. Well, I don't know about you, but it's still happening to me. So when I wrote down, where am I? Where are you, Dale? That was a tough sentence to write. And I've been journeying with that sentence for some time now. He knew where they were, so why did he ask them? so they would know. Because when we're deceived, we think we've got away with it, or we think we're living life, we think we're where we should be. But when they had to say to themselves, oh, hang on, where are we? We've blown it. They've got to be honest with themselves and honest with the Father. And so he was asking me that. And I've answered that in multiple ways over the last several months. And there's been beautiful times in the middle of the night I hear, where are you, Dale? And I go, I'm with you here. That's been good. I've woken up in the morning and heard that, where are you, Dale? I'm right with you, Lord. And then an hour later, I get that, where are you, Dale? Oh, I've rushed ahead, Lord. I've got no idea where you are or me. I'm into my own game again. Or I hear, where are you, Lord? Where are you, Dale? And I go, oh, I've sinned again, Lord. I'm sorry. I've got to come back to my knees. It's been a beautiful drawing question. He's drawing me back. He's not accusing. He wants me with him. Where are you, Dale? I'm still answering that. I did wonder if I had a little bit to share with you there. Thanks, Cameron. Oh, yeah, I think that's probably enough on that. What comes to mind for you guys when I ask that question, where are you? Recognizing. Thank you, Peter. We haven't met yet, but I know you're there. Recognizing where you are, yeah. So waking up to that, yeah. Awesome. There's a lot of different answers to that. And I think today, guys, as we explore in our sessions, it couldn't be even flippant or even light what I share, or maybe too cutting, but we're trying to be an encouragement to you. That's our purpose and our aim. And so if something knocks you about, that's not our goal. And get some support and encouragement at that time. I think it was in 2017 I visited Better Blokes and shared. And I had three sessions to deliver. And I'd prepared two, thinking and hoping that by the third one, God would give me a third one. And he did. And I started with a clip, a video clip, and I've brought it back to us. I think it's still important for us to reconnect with this. Boys, can you see that clip?
Is it on the PowerPoint?
Yes, it's in the PowerPoint. And the volume on this is a bit low, so if we can add any tech to help to that, and then we need good, really good listening. You remember this clip, fellas? You remember it. And I really debated about whether we would spend the time on it, but I think it's really valuable to reconnect with it. There should be a little button in the bottom left-hand corner there, in the clip itself. Yeah. Thanks, mate. I've got some more for you. Yeah. Just while that's coming up, I met three guys this morning, and one's just a brand new dad, one's a young father, one's about to get married. This is for you guys and for all of us, but I was thinking of this when we were talking.
Watching the buffalo. Boy, moving right over there. This could be very interesting.
The size of that one.
That is a huge buffalo.
That's a huge buffalo.
It's a huge buffalo.
Even the lion.
Oh, the two younger ones gone already.
Don't you think they're around the other way?
Is it a little?
I think they're a bit young. I don't know, maybe.
Oh, he's looking at getting
ready.
They're crouching.
She's quite big.
that mean attack position?
Sure, it's a touch position.
Who is that female? Oh, I can't see her.
Gonna do.
She's going for him. She got him. Oh, she did. She got him.
Maybe he's gone. He's just plucked a buffalo here.
Oh, my God.
God, did you see that yet?
Oh, my God, yes.
Unbelievable.
He's always going to have to
Guys, I'm shaking. Can you believe this? The buffalo are coming to help this one now. Watch.
They're too late.
Come and help this baby. Watch.
They're too late. Can they help him now, Frank?
Yeah, they can.
He's still alive, you think?
Oh, he's still alive.
My goodness.
Russell, Russell for Frank.
They're trying to drag him out. They're dragging him out.
Hulle het nou net 'n kleintjie gevang. Hier's lekker action hier so jong. Hulle het 'n kleintjie hier so in die water en die trop is besig om nader te kom.
It's on its back. I have to kill it quickly.
Oh, it's so alive.
Ja, positief. Hulle het 'n klein buffeltjie gevang hier so.
There's a crocodile there too.
Yeah, there's a crocodile look. Huh? Frank, a crocodile looky clanky.
The crocodile coming out.
Yeah.
I checked through the barn. There's a croc trying to grab the baby.
Yes.
Look at this. The crocodile's taking the baby away.
Oh my God.
There are two crocodiles.
They're going to lose it.
Oh my God.
Oh, they're
going to
fight over it.
I'm shaking.
Oh my God.
Oh, he's coming back. Huge.
Oh, look at those huge dogs.
The lions of one. Oh, the lions of one.
The lions of one?
Oh, the lions of one.
Yeah, but look at all those buffalo coming.
I'm running out of film.
Oh, they're going to come and try and chase the lion, but I think they're too late.
I think you're right. They're way too late now.
No, they're
going to
chase him.
Come on.
Oh,
they're too late.
Yeah, you realize it?
Oh, look at the teeth.
Look at them. They're going to chase
him. Look at the teeth, Jay. You're too late. You're too late.
You guys, you cannot believe what's going on here. There's a big tally here between lions, crocodiles, and buffaloes.
Look at them all.
Whoa. What happened? He swatted at him, he kicked at him. He's kicking at him, look. He's kicking at him.
Nou ja, ons gaan net sien wat hier aangaan, jong. Die buffels is besig om die leeu's te omsingel hier so en hulle want die leeu's het 'n klein jatty gevang. En hierdie jatties wil die leeu's nou bykom. Hulle jag die leeu's links en regs.
Ooh, they got him surrounded.
Ja, jy kan maar kom, jong. Hier is
goed. That one's.
Ooh.
Jason.
They caught him.
Jason, where are you going in the water?
You got the lion on him, run.
That little buffalo is still alive.
Brave king of the beasts.
Yeah.
others are doing those. I'm at the other end.
Go on, go on, Buffalo.
Jesus, can you believe this?
Never seen an elf.
I've never seen any elf.
The calf's still alive.
It is?
Yeah, it's trying to get away. It's standing up.
It is, it's a stunning thing.
Oh, is it? Oh, and I'm putting them into the water.
It's standing up.
It's standing up.
It's run
away.
It's gone.
It's got it back.
They've got him back. They do have him back.
Oh, hierdie buffels het die leeu's weggevat van hy kleintjie af.
Ja, die leeu.
They got back. The other ones.
We're still chasing.
Oh, check, check.
Back in with the herd.
Oh, he's going to stop.
And the two lions.
Oh, they're going
back.
That's hot.
Jesus. This is unbelievable. This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
I've never seen
them.
Look,
they're running. Look,
there's two left.
Gee, they chased him away.
Sure, but they hooked the one. Did you see
the
one?
They hooked the one.
And they got the other one.
Go on, Buffalo, go on. And there's the other one.
Oh, the big one.
The Leo's that lion's injured. You see that? But do you see that bumble and throw that one in the air?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, these others are coming to help as well.
Sure, these are some more coming to them.
Yeah, I got him. I got him being thrown in the air.
Nyati is I claim Nyati is a little red and he from Gonnie's weggejaagd. Ongelooflijk.
Thank you. It's exciting to watch that all the way through, but I wanted to be a little judicious with our time there. It is an amazing clip, isn't it? So much I see in that. What do you see at the beginning? These guys wandering along in the sun. It's all pretty cool. Nothing going wrong here. Asleep to the threat. What's the lions doing? Prowling. What's the scripture? 1 Peter 5:8. Absolutely. And, you know, there it is in living picture. Nearly invisible to us, visible to the buffaloes. And then they get surprised, attacked by surprise. Who do the lions go after? The vulnerable. So that could be our children, it could be our family, it could be us at our most vulnerable. When we're stretched and when we're stressed and when we've got too much on and we've forgotten about connecting with God, we've forgotten about connecting with His people, and we get vulnerable. And then the buffalo will run away. That big one just bolts off. And they regroup, though, and they get strong. But what about that poor little calf? It's got four or five lions hanging off it, and then a crocodile comes. You can't even believe that. I reckon I felt like that about 3 weeks ago. It's like, one more, Lord? Is there more? Honestly, guys, I want to be honest with you. I sat in church 3 weeks ago and I had tears streaming down my face going, I'm nearly broken here. And it's actually carrying too much all on my own. I've run ahead with God. I've taken His responsibility. I'm trying to be a good man, but I'm carrying the weight of it all. And then they reconnect and regather. That's the home I felt this morning. In amongst God's men. Felt the strength again. And they win the calf back. How many prodigals in the room? You know what that means. You know when you've been off and lost and it's never too late. You hear them saying it's too late? It's never too late. I thought that calf was gone. And so, I don't know. I just wanted us to reconnect with that script, that clip there, because the scripture says, "Wake up, O sleeper! Thank you, rise from the dead." Some of us might be asleep to the battle, the challenge, and it just feels hard instead of being in the game with God on our side and God's power. Thank you. I'm going to change pace to another clip now, and the battle is the theme. So we'll hand over. This one's got plenty of volume, so we won't need to support that. You did a great job there.
What the hell is your delay, Captain?
We're waiting, sir.
Waiting for what?
Private Doss.
Who the hell is Private Doss?
I always dreamed about being a doctor, but didn't get much school. I can't stay here while all them go fight for me.
But you figure this war is just going to fit in with your ideas?
While everybody else is taking life, I'm gonna be saving it. And that's gonna be my way to serve.
This is a personal gift from the United States government designed to bring death to the enemy.
Well, I'm sorry, Sergeant. I can't touch a gun.
You don't kill.
No, sir.
You know, quite a bit of killing does occur in war.
Private Doss does not believe in violence. Do not look to him to save you on the battlefield.
I don't think this is a question of religion. I think this is cowardice.
I fell in love with you because you weren't like anyone else. You're saying you could go to prison.
I don't know how I'm gonna live with myself if I don't stay true to what I believe. With the world so set on tearing itself apart, doesn't seem like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together.
Private Doss, you are free to run into the hellfire of battle without a single weapon to protect yourself.
I'm gonna get you home.
There's something you gotta see.
Who did this?
That's the guard.
We have to go back up tomorrow. And they're not gonna go up there without you. Help me.
You'll have to trust me. You better come home to me.
Please, Lord, help me get one more. Help me get one more.
I'm always moved watching that, powerfully moved. Now, no doubt they've done a great Hollywood job on that story. But the story is significant and in itself. If you could go on to the next slide. Back one. I took them out.
Yeah.
So Desmond was a Christian man who didn't want to kill. And he thought, they're trying to make him hold a gun. Well, he threatened his father. He had an abusive father who had served in the previous war. Broken man. And yeah, thank you very much. So he was. He wouldn't hold a gun. That was his vow to God. I'll never hold a gun again. He held a gun to his father's head. His father said, fire it, shoot it. And he couldn't hold a gun. So he made a vow to God that he wouldn't do that, but he wanted to serve, he wanted to fight, he wanted to be strong. He didn't want to leave the other men to carry that burden for his community and his family. So he's going to go into war unarmed. And they hated him for it. They beat him. And he served anyway. And we were just at the war memorial yesterday, and we were just looking at how good men are at on the planet at killing one another. We're magnificent and we're just getting better and better at it. And here is a man who said, I'm going to go in and save men and I'm going to hold my integrity with God. And he was honored with a Medal of Honor. Can you flip to, at Okinawa there, he saved 75 men. Just give me one more, Lord. Just give me one more. What a beautiful prayer. What a beautiful prayer. Let me get one more, Lord. Who would love that prayer? Thank you. What I love about Doss is that he was awake and alert. He knew the battle that he was in. He knew he was in the battle. And he knew who he was fighting for. And this is about being awake and alert, guys, at what our our job is. He knew who was on his side, and he knew that his battle was physical and spiritual, and so is ours. We've got to understand that, the battle of the physical world and the battle of the spiritual world. I just have that other, you're important to the battle, absolutely. And I think about these ripples like the generations we had last night. The ripples are the generations. We have an impact on the next generation and the next one and the next one. And those of us that are in that vintage era, thank you for that nice title, we might have three or four generations that are alive now. But it's actually after we're gone, our impact is still there. We've got to understand how important we are in the battle for our families, for our community. We've got to answer these questions. You know, who in your life is worth fighting for? And what are your internal battles? So we're not taking this lightly that we just go into battle fully armed. We might have some stuff that we've got to deal with. And I was just talking with Jason yesterday about how many prayers he's delivered to older men who, correct me if I get this wrong, but who were dealing with stuff for you from years before. They've carried stuff for years. And Jason's heart, I get really encouraged going, oh, old men are still finding their way. He's going, imagine if they cleaned that up years before. What would have been saved and what would have been created? And I love the two sides of that coin. Can you go back a couple of slides, boys, to those circles there? Thank you. So just a question to you fellas now. Where are you in the battle? And these are just a couple of questions. There could even be more, but I need to wake up and get in the battle. I can remember feeling that many times in my life. I remember with pornography, learning that. I've got to get in the battle here. I've got to get in the game and get on top of this. I didn't know there was a battle. Am I fighting with the people I should be fighting for? I found myself there, fellas, with most recently my youngest daughter, who's 21, just in a couple of weeks. She was doing it tough through the back end of high school. Anyone had a daughter go through those hard years of high school? And she's trying to find a way. And instead of being loving dad, I'm something else. I'm trying my best, but it's going wrong. And it's pushing her away from me instead of drawing her in. Anyone experienced that before? Yeah, yeah. Our wives, guys, our marriages, and we're all at different stages in marriage, but our marriages are opposed. Satan doesn't want us to have a good marriage. Our marriage has an enemy, and it's not our wife. I'm not suggesting that all marriages are going to go well or even going to work out well, but it's very easy to find yourself arguing with the very people, fighting the very people we're here to bring love and strength to. I went to an Eldridge conference in Hawaii. I was very blessed. My wife bought me a ticket to that. And the one thing I came home from that was this message that we as men need to bring strength to our marriages, not get strength from our marriages. We're too heavy to put all our weight on our wives. That's why we need men. That we can talk one-on-one and share burdens and stuff. And so, not that we wouldn't share stuff with our wives, but we need other places that we get support, encouragement and love so that we can bring that back into our homes. That was a revelation to me. I need help. I'm getting smashed in the battle. And that was me even 3 weeks ago. And you know, that day, this just simple good fella said to me, "How are you going, Dale?" It was the wrong time to ask that question. And I said, "Oh, Simon, I think I'm broken." And he said, "Let me pray for you." That's all it took. me being honest with me of where I'm at, him turning up and bringing God. That's all I needed. I met with another man that day more intentionally, and we unpacked a whole lot more. He prayed with me. It changed. Change, brokenness, back in the game. I was thinking then, Simon doesn't know this, I was thinking if I got COVID, I wouldn't have to go to Better Blokes. That's what was on the line here. I was that smashed and stretched. You knew I was struggling. I'm glad I'm here. Last one. I'm in the battle and I need help from God and good men. So where are you in the battle? Maybe there's somewhere else. That's a question for you just for now. And now I'm back off script, Frank, and I've got no idea what's next, but we're doing all right. Sorry. Thank you. Yeah. Would you mind Ephesians 6:12, please, Cameron? I should have given you a heads up on that. While he's finding that, I led my first men's retreat outside of my home church was at Jason's church, and we had a brilliant time just like this. And at the end of it, they said, Dale, this is awesome. How do we get more young blokes here? There was no young blokes here. Ephesians 6:12, thank you. They said, how do we get more? So we should be fighting for a young bloke, shouldn't we? Yeah. And you young blokes only need to look 5 years younger, and there's another set of blokes to be fighting for. I said, how do we get the young blokes here, Dale? And I said, what's their names? And they said, what do you mean? Well, young blokes aren't just a group of strangers. What's their names? I said, okay, we get it. Like, so how you fight for a young person is start by having a relationship with them. You don't invite them to a men's retreat. It's scary coming to a men's retreat, particularly if you're a young fella. Why? Because the primary question is, do I have what it takes to be a man? And so we need to be in relationship. I think of fish, like a fish. And his adopted father over here. In relationship, they've got each other. So we need to build relationship with those we want to fight for. Merv Duncan is a beautiful old man in our church. My son goes into a connect group, whatever, life group, something like that, young couples, and they're all under 30. And here's Merv, he's 84 and he's part of their connect group. I said, Merv, what are you doing? And he said, I'm there for them. And they love him. They call him Grandpa. And he's a bit of a grumpy old fella. Like, I didn't think they'd even like him. And he said, I've got to hold my tongue a lot of the time. But then someone will come to me with a... He's fighting for them. You get it? He could be at home watching Home and Away or something. Something equally important. But no, he's putting in his time and he's giving it. We had a men's group and one of the fellas' marriage was in big trouble, and he'd been battling that for a long time, and they were praying for him. We pray for one another. That's how we battle. And one bloke in the group, he got fired up. He said, I'm sick of this. We're seeing no life here. We're upping the ante on our prayer. And so they upped the ante. They got serious. No change. Said, I'm sick of this. We're fasting now for this marriage. They're fighting for this guy's marriage. He couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe it. She was so moved by the fact that these men were fighting for her and she wasn't in the game. She was going, how could I not respond when this is the battle going on for my marriage? That marriage eventually gave way, but she got back in and tried. But this is how we fight for one another. Thank you. Yeah.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
Awesome. Thank you. So is anyone in doubt there's a battle going on? Anyone need any more evidence of that? So when we wake up that that's what the game we're in, then we've got to learn how to play. We've got to learn to get on God's side. I can even see, I look around the room and I see some guys stirred here and, you know, we're close to maybe the heart of some fellas where they're at right now. And we want to be gentle with that and trust that. I prepared two sets of questions for you. I just need some help with some handouts. I think with great preparation, and I've left one set in my cabin or in my room, so I can help you with that. Oh, it might be there. No, maybe it's turned out. Could you get one of these out to the fellas? And I'm sorry if this is, but we're pretty adaptable. We're grown up. We can cope with that. So we'll get one of those out quickly. You just give 10 to a row and let them. Things. Look where it ended up. God's bigger than that. It doesn't matter. So, fellas, before I put up a slide which said, where are you in the battle? Do you remember those four options there? Maybe one of them stood out to you. Maybe a few of them did. Can I just invite you, before you get into that sheet, maybe just turn to the bloke next to you and have a quick chat about which one of those actually resonated for you. Okay, we can put that slide back up. Thank you, boys. Which one of those or all of them resonates for you? Have a quick chat together. Good. Who was that wise man who said use the light switches for your signal? Awesome. Thank you. We're learning. That saves my voice and five call-outs. Great. So we've started to explore that. Where are you in the battle? And I've started to share on that as well. I'm conscious that I'm over here instead of in the middle, so I'm trying to actually see the faces over here too. No, they're not very good. I'll go over here. I have prepared a couple more questions for you there, and I wanted to give you maybe 5 minutes or so just to jot down some responses to those. And they're on both sides of that page there. What are your internal battles? Anyone got any internal battles? Just one or two? Yep. And also, who in your life is worth fighting for? I want to encourage you to start with that question. Who in your life is worth fighting for? And I was thinking about Tim Nagel. And Tim shows a passion for shed. So it also could be in that question, what is worth fighting for? I see Tim fighting for that. He wants that to have life. So that question could be who or what in your life is worth fighting for? And just say a quick prayer to God. In fact, I will, but you do too. Lord, we're asking some big questions here. They're questions that are important to you because you made us as men in your image, in your strength and power to be a blessing to those around us. And Lord, we want to identify those people. We identify what's worth fighting for. And I pray you'd give those names to these men now. They'll know some straight away, but maybe there's some subtle ones that need prompting. So, Lord, I pray you bless each man now. Prompt him in his spirit to answer these questions in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll give you 10 minutes or so. Thanks, fellas. We've had a few minutes now to think about those questions, and there's power in writing something down. Can you see that from taking just an idea and personalising it and asking God to speak to that? And you've got some important things on your paper there. We've left a bit of time between now and morning tea, and we'd like to invite you into an opportunity to share on that, but that's in a safe small group, we're thinking. And we would like to encourage you to find yourself in a safe small group. Now, it could be safer to be with the people you know well, or it could be safer to get away from them. I don't know. I would like to see the fathers spread across the group so that we have some guys that can offer some good prayer into that as well. Doesn't matter about age, but those that can do that. So would you be comfortable now to do a scramble, move your chairs, get a place where there's maybe four or five of you max, and not everyone needs to share what they've written down, but maybe it's important that some do. And we want to just give you that space and time for that. Anything else we need to add there, Simon? No? It's good. How do you love that question? Are you fighting with the people you should be fighting for? Man, what a cracker. Wow. Good. So let's do that. Let's do a chair shuffle, get around in a small group, find a place where you feel safe. No need to share, but we're giving an opportunity for people to share, and some prayer towards the end of that would be awesome.